I will start with listening to three sounds of the bell. And listening to the bell is a way also to listen to our breath, to come back into our breath, so that our awareness can kind of surf the in and the out breath. And we can experience this in many ways. So when we're settling in and sensing our breath right now, where do I sense it? Where do I experience the in breath and the out breath? Allowing the bell to invite us back home to awareness, to the breath, to our bodies. So, dear Mother Earth, dear Father Sun, we're gathered here on the fall equinox. And this bountiful of gifts of the earth. And to practicing generosity for what we have in our lives, what we're receiving. And I've noticed that when I allow myself to be grateful and really touch things, not take things for granted, elements in my life, and it can be such a simple thing as, I can breathe in, I can breathe out. And then also there's a natural flow of kindness in me, there's a natural flow of generosity. So when we're allowing us to receive, it's also natural that we want to offer. And when we offer, we receive just by offering. And we can see this this cycle in the breath as well. We're breathing in the gift of the plant life as the oxygenated air is coming in. This brings life, brings rejuvenation to every cell of our body. But the breath also brings in life energy that is not just confined to the material aspects of it. And on the out-breath, we can let go. There is also a sense of resting. And sometimes we might notice that our in-breath is long. We really need more air. We really need more oxygen. And the out-breath might be short. We're just waiting for the next in-breath. We just want to take in more. It's a kind of a energizing kind of a breath. Sometimes it might be just like the in and the out-breath. And we can notice this even in meditation or in our daily life, that the rhythm of the breath is different. Maybe where we touch and experience the breath is in different places of our body. But sometimes it might be balanced, like the in-breath that has a certain duration. And there's also like, it's not like, but there's a natural like pausing and extension, and then the out-breath comes. And then there might be a pause before the body naturally draws in the next breath. So to beware of the breath is also to let the breath free in a way. We're letting go. We're not controlling it. We're not breathing in a certain way. So it's not awareness of breathing. It's not a breathing exercise in that sense. And this balancing breath can be very restorative and deeply restful. Sometimes we might notice that our out-breath is very long. We might yawn, we might sigh. It's a way of, I need to release something. I need to let go of something. So you see like the different needs, different, the body, the mind is regulates itself. We can keep track of that in our breath. Also, how is the body feeling? I've noticed like becoming aware of the breath and returning to it often. And I would also notice like when I start feeling like my breath energy feels weaker. It doesn't go as deeply into the body. It's more shallow. It's more like restricted. And sometimes it's just because I'm tired. And I've noticed also at times when I'm about to get sick, before any like physical symptoms like a runny nose or something appears, I feel my breath body is weak. So that's a way too, like the best way I've experienced to restore it is just to lay down on my side and just rest and allow the body to breathe deeply for a good while. That could be a way of actually, like before we even start having symptoms of a cold, that we might actually energize the body, we might harmonize the body enough to not having to go into it. But it can also help us be aware of the feelings inside of us. How is our mind activity going? When we're fearful or we're stressed or we're becoming angry, the breath is not going to move as far into the body as when you're relaxed, you're happy and you're loving. You're going to feel the difference. Even just mentioning the word, I feel like a tightening on the fear and the anger, like it's constricting. And then the air doesn't come in. The body starts tense. It's almost like it's preparing for fighting or flighting. Fight, flight. Yeah, sometimes freeze too, because if something has been too overwhelming, we cannot neither fight or run away from it. So we just freeze to not having to experience it. And then when the breath can go deeper into our body, and we can use this as an exercise to actually like release the worry, release the irritation that start bubbling. It's like, can I take a couple of deep breaths? I remember even like as a child, it's like, my mom told me, like, take three breaths. But it wasn't of enjoying the breath, of allowing the breath to go deeper into the body and allowing the body to relax kind of breath. It was more like, get a hold of yourself breath. And it didn't seem to work so well. It's almost like it's just a pressure cooker. So then after those breaths, it was 3 or 5, 10, I don't remember. It was like, it was always more intense. It didn't help to calm and ease it at all. So somehow there is, at least in the collective, where we have an insight about this, that the breath will help us to get a pause, help us to stop, help us to regulate ourselves. And so how can we remind ourselves to do this often? And so when I feel happy, when I feel kind, when I feel like in a state of like, gratitude, then my body is more open. The breath goes deeper into the body. I'm feeling more contact also with the earth. So we can explore this in our daily life, like to check in with ourselves now and then. It's like, how am I feeling? What's happening with my breath? What is my body's contact with the surrounding? And from there, we can start seeing like the thing that help us to bring awareness to where we're like, where is our imbalances in life? Where are we losing ourselves in an emotion, in thinking, in just being spaced out, whatever? And so our teacher, he encouraged us to be aware of our breath as a way to ground. And when we're, these times we're on the computer, we're on our cell phones a lot in electronic media, something when we do something that is like the mind can go very quick. It could like spot, pop, pop, pop. I saw some young girls on the train when I left Sweden. On the train, they were going to high school. And they were like, they just scrolling like from this social media thing to the next. And I was like, ooh, I got dizzy just like observing it over their shoulder for like 30 seconds. It was like, oh my God. Like, so the mind can travel very quick and our sense impression, we go for the next thing, the next thing. And it gets a little bit of a reward in us. So for a moment, we think it's it's a little bit like of a bliss. But it passes very quick in the mind. If we see the mind, the aspect of mind as the thinking here, the thinking mind, that might jump to branch to branch, it takes a lot of energy from the body as well. And it often for me, I notice when my mind and that kind of thinking, that's just like, or it might just go in a spiral, like, oh no, that talk I gave yesterday at the library, no, that I don't think that was good, and there was no light. I didn't even have a slideshow presentation. I didn't know you can have that. I could, like, the thinking could make me spiral and think that was awful. But like, it didn't, right? But in the past, I've noticed, like, when I offer something or I do something, I take one aspect of the worst thing from that experience. And that might be, actually, it might remind me of something else. I didn't do that well enough. And I used to be really, really worried speaking in front of other people. And I wonder, like, I would have had so much more insight to offer. And then it could come, like, you know. So, okay, but it's just a thought. Is it reality? Is it true? We can check with ourselves. Just, do I want to go down that hole? Have I been down that spiraling way of thinking before? Because we're never going to get fulfilled. That kind of mind that's just scrolling is never going to get fulfilled. How many other likes and how many cool things you see, you're never going to get fulfilled from that. And so we can conserve energy and also help clarity, because when that kind of a thinking mind is present, I notice, for me at least, in the past, I was one of the two big sufferings I had in my life back home working in Sweden. It was confusion. There's so many things, I have so many ideas, and there's so many, I want to do this and this, and I exhaust myself sometimes trying to follow every great, wonderful idea and thing I could do. And then, exhaustion, and then like not having any inspiration for a couple of days, and then again. And it was kind of tiring, like having this on and off. Because I didn't know when to stop. I didn't know when to was enough. And when to really go with something. So the breath is also helping us to come back into ourselves. We can practice like we did, breathing in into my heart space. I touch an inner smile, an inner kindness, an inner acceptance that is also present in us. It's also there. Breathing out, I let it start shining within me, like a sun shining within. Breathing in, and then breathing out, letting it spread. That's a way to calm. It's like sometime in the fall, winter, you have fog here, I understand, in the morning. And as the sun rises, the moisture when the cold and the hot air meets, and the sun rises, it slowly, slowly starts burning off the mist, the fog. Because when the mist, you don't see clearly. Like within us too, sometimes we don't see clearly. And if we can then stop and settle, and the sun here is the awareness, letting the awareness rise, the sun rise, and just gently, naturally burn off the fog. It's not fighting the fog or the mist, it's just like, naturally, like, and the water molecules are still there. They're just not as tightly packed. They're just dispersing, as if the the pulp of the juice is settling into the bottom of our glass. So we can have a little bit more clarity in our life. What do we want to do? What's important for me? So this is all gifts of awareness of the breath. Help us get in contact with ourselves in a more deep and genuine way. I was sharing before that you might get tired of following the breath. It might get boring. If we do something on and on and on, like repetitively, mechanically, it gets boring. It's natural. Like, so even when we do something, even something like returning to the breath, we have to make sure it doesn't just become natural or mechanical, but it actually becomes interesting. It's the way we might have a practice of sitting meditation or prayer or whatever it is. Yoga we do every morning. Without a fail, I do my practice. But how alive is it? Are we touching the preciousness of it? Maybe we don't do it every time, all the time, but we keep showing up, it's important. We keep doing it, it's important. But then how do we renew it in a way so it's actually interesting? And so for me, one way of that too is to combine the breath with this verticality that we both practice, part of Zen practice of sitting. You're feeling down, you're connected down, you're rooting, you're feeling the contact with the earth downward. And you're feeling the elongation through your spine, the top of your head is like a string gently pulling you upward. And the same when we're practicing Gongmin, like we're practicing standing, it's like that of feeling the feet on the ground, rooting downward, feeling the top of our head stretching upward. We feel this verticality. So for me also, I breathe into this. So we can either, like with the in-breath, feeling as if our in-breath is coming from above, all the way through our body, all the way down to the root. If we want, we can follow the spine or the central energy channel. And on the out-breath, all the way up, maybe we sense it at the crown, the top of our head, in-breath, downward. At the root, and then outward, upward, and then we can change also, like inward, from down, up, down, out, down. And for me, I noticed that it's helping me not just to be aware. Sometimes if we're following our breath, it becomes like, in Qigong and Taoism, you would call it the outer breath, like the organ's way of breathing. So you see the air comes into your nostril. Just following the breath at the nostril is very helpful if we're sleepy, if we feel like groggy. So it's also like this invigorating breath a little bit more. So subtle the feel the sensation at the nostril. And you can come in contact with the fragrance too in a different way maybe. The cool or the warmth of the air, the dryness or the moisture of the air. And if we follow our breath at the abdominal, it can be very grounding. So if we're feeling the strong emotion of irritation or fear or worry or stress, like just many times, even if we're in class or we're in a meeting, we're sitting in front of our computer, we're on the phone, we can still put one hand on our abdomen. No one will notice. Like, can I feel the breath all the way down into my belly? So it's also like a gentle massage of our abdomen when the breath actually comes all the way there. So it's naturally helping to relax the body. When the body can be relaxed and the breath can move openly down and out through the body, it also has a regulatory to the feelings and the thinking. And so the abdomen comes out because the diaphragm that's connected with the inside of the ribs, it pushes downward on the in-breath. And so the abdomen can expand, lungs fill up so there's more space, the diaphragm's pulled down to pull in air. And the diaphragm goes upward, the belly sinks in, and the chest maybe deflates. So this is kind of what you could call the outer breath, or the breath body of the organs. But there's also the energy of the breath. Even like, you know, the oxygen is rejuvenating every cell of our body. It's helping being brought through the blood. That's also bringing nutrients, and it's also the one that's transporting slug products, waste products from the cells. But also the energy of the breath can move through us. So can we be aware of that in a way that is helpful for me to sense it, like, this verticality thing? That's kind of, you could call it the inner breath, the more subtle energy of the breath. Then they become very interesting. And you might do one other thing for a while, and then you see, oh, okay, I can practice in another way. And so becoming aware of the breath, it gives us also access to the body. Like when I was sick in cancer, or even if you just have tension somewhere, we can also like breathe into that part of our body. And with the out-breath, allowing that body to relax, to soften. So our breath is also directing awareness. And where our awareness goes, also life energy goes, or she goes, which make it natural that it can actually heal. It can actually unclog blockages. Sometimes there's a tension in our body, or there's some kind of a pain in our body, something that is feeling uncomfortable. And if we're not accepting it or acknowledging it, I'm feeling tense. I'm feeling strain here. I'm feeling maybe there's a part of our body that's always like tight. We're in a certain situation, we know this, like when we meet a certain person or we're in a situation, something in us tightens. It blocks life, it blocks awareness, and it affects our emotions, it affects our way of thinking, the way of perceiving. But something in us is telling us there's some kind of danger. I have to I have to be aware, or I have to tense myself. And so then if we breathe into that place, can we allow it to soften? Letting go on the out-breath. So this is one way of practicing letting go. Letting go is a deep and wonderful practice. So life can circulate through us. And so letting go is also, someone asks, but how do you let go? Because we have a tendency to cling to many things. We cling to our thoughts and our ideas. It's like, this is me, this is mine. We cling to our body. We cling to our possessions. We cling to our name, where we live, where we come from, whatever. We cling and we cling because we're afraid that we will lose ourselves. What we're afraid of, actually. We find ourselves when we let go. And we realize we're not confined to these small things. These different aspects that make us up in a way. Because your body, your feelings, your thoughts are unique in its own way. They are the way they are because of causes and conditions, both from our own past experience, from the land we grew up in, from the time, from our ancestors, both blood and spiritual. So we're perfect the way we are. There's reasons why we are and feel just the way we do right now. So that also helps to bring acceptance. We were talking about the serenity prayer this morning. That can I accept the things, whether I can change them or not? Can I accept them and love them as they are? Because it is like this because of a reason. We see these squash and pumpkin here, these apples, is because someone at a certain point in time sown a seed. Or it's the seed sown itself. And so these apples is like someone maybe, I think Manta shared, like people were planting fruit trees around here 50 years ago or something. So it's like past generation that's offering these apples to us. But also the minerals in the soil, the rain, the sun, fresh air, the pollinators, so in the fruits. We also see all the conditions. We see the seeds, we see all the nourishing conditions for it to actually manifest like this. And it's not just true about the pumpkin or the apple, it's true about us too. So like when we're approaching something, maybe in the body, it can also be a feeling we're breathing into. I'm feeling really scared right now. How does that feel? I'm breathing into it, I'm sensing it, I'm bringing awareness to feeling scared. Breathing out, I allow myself to relax. Right now I'm kind of safe. Right now there's nothing really dangerous happening. If that's the case, if you feel like you're scared in your situation, this might be dangerous. Okay, you have to remove yourself, right? It's not, you have to be intelligent, right? Like, oh, I can breathe with this insecurity. Oh, I can breathe with this anger. It's like, oh. Maybe we've seen it in our life a lot. Maybe we even identify with this kind of a feeling as ourselves because it's been so present in our life. So to bring awareness, to bring the breath to this feeling is also to befriend it, to show acceptance, to even embrace it tenderly. Because there's some we feel scared, maybe it's not now even, there's something just triggering our fear. But the fear is maybe strong in us because of something we've gone through, or something our parents gone through, or something even the collective gone through. Even now we're fearful about things in the collective that hasn't happened yet. Maybe happened, maybe won't happen, we don't know. So like when we notice, oh, I'm feeling fearful, maybe the war will come this way. This terrible, like with the people that are suffering in war right now. And sometimes can that touch the seed of fear in me? Or does it touch the seed of compassion? It's like, oh, may I cultivate more peace in my life. May I meet the people I am meeting. May I go through my life with peace and kindness and inclusion so we don't make these enemies in my own life. Can that be my contribution? And so that's also like a remedy through the fear, because the fear might give us into hopelessness or despair. So like to bring awareness to also our feelings is very empowering. It might be uncomfortable at first, but compared to what we suffer through, just like in a way like letting them take over our life energy and our choices. Because if we don't bring awareness to when we're afraid, when we're angry, what do we do? Maybe we express it in some way. Maybe we remove ourselves, even from the ones we love, because we feel like afraid and cut off. Maybe we cover it up with something. Even like spiritual material can be a covering up, or we're feeling like we don't understand enough, we're not enough, we're never enough. So we want to like consume more. So it's not only about the object that we're consuming or we're drawn to, but what is pulling us towards it. Is it this grasping? Or is it real curiosity? I want to grow, I want to learn, I want to receive the gifts of this spiritual teaching, or of looking, watching something. I'm reading, you know, during my life as a monk, I didn't read any novels. That's kind of part of the monk's training too. And watched very few films. So now I'm watching more films, I'm reading some novels. And I see that it touches some kind of a feeling and a kind of empathy in one way, even if it's fictitious. It's like it's kind of unpacking or showing other people's feelings, the way of being. And so it makes me a little bit more compassionate and open-hearted somehow. And also like I get, I've never thought you could act in a situation like that. So it's also like it's some kind of input. So it depends on why we read it, why we watch it, and also seeing what does it touch in me. Does it touch like, oh, like, look at all these beautiful people on the movie. I'm not good enough. I don't have nice clothes enough or whatever. Then it's like, okay, just stop it. Yeah. But if it feels like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, people go through all kinds of wonderful and dreadful things in their life. And me too, we can have kind of a compassion and like a sense of like enjoyment when the wonderful things are happening to us, and a sense of maybe more equanimity when difficult things are happening. And I've seen in my life, maybe you have seen in yours, that some of the difficulties we go through, some of the challenges we go through, actually that becomes like the compost, the nourishment for the seeds to grow, and like the most precious rose to come out and blossom, and like the fragrance just spreads. It's not just the outer rose or the outer flower, but within. When I came to Plum Village, it was in 2002, I had the idea to come for a 5-week retreat, and I stayed and I stayed and I stayed. I was kind of in the tradition for 18 years. But outside the men's public toilet block in Upper Hamlet in France, there was this most beautiful rose bush that covered the whole like limestone wall just outside the window, just outside the door of the toilet block. And these red roses, oh, I've never smelled anything as delicious like that. You know, it's amazing. I don't know if it comes straight from the zoo. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But it's like this, the proximity is like, yeah, okay, you have urine and feces and you have this beautiful rose, like so close. So it's a process of transformation. It's a process of alchemy that can help us to use the difficulty we experience in our life if we have awareness. And breathing into this body, allowing it to open, to soften, allowing us to embrace it. Can I maybe help it to start growing in a new way? Like maybe there's a potential of a beautiful rose in that difficult situation. And one way of explaining it is like the thing that we've gone through, maybe that's also something we can share with others. You know? Some have gone through difficult things and we transform some of it. And then we can show up like with others in a way that is very, it creates trust, it creates credibility because we've experienced some of it. And my wife Emma, she used therapy for herself and meditation to transform her own traumas. And now she's helping people to do it. So when people have this situation, she can really like, you know, it's not the same, but I've been there. I can feel with you. So that's a great gift in a way, like to really empathize with someone like that. And you can feel seen and heard, and there's no feeling like, oh, that is something wrong with me. But it's just an experience I've had. It can be embraced. It could be also included. Yeah. And so with letting go, we can let go of also these judgments. Oh, man, it's not me, it's not mine. It's like I'm not limited to this thought. I'm not limited to this idea. I'm so much more. Yeah. So this is a little bit of an exploration of the art of breath. And we'll continue through the practices for the rest of the day as well. And so sometimes as a reminder out in the daily life, I have a stone with me, a pebble. Like I brought a couple of pebbles from out the garden inside. Because sometimes if I'm like in the supermarket, you're in a place where there's also collective energy. Like in the city, or there's something where you feel like there's a lot of hustle, bustle, there's worry, there's stress. And then it becomes more difficult for ourselves to maybe come back to ourselves. And so then I have, if you bring out a little pebble from your pocket, you hold it. Maybe you have a mala or like some stone bracelet or something that is like of the earth. You can really feel the solidity is of the earth. Okay, now I'm breathing in. I'm breathing out, I'm connecting with the earth, I'm letting go, okay? I don't have to be influenced, I don't have to be limited by the collective energy around me right now. I'm reclaiming my sovereignty. And it's not fighting or pushing against someone, but it's like, okay. Even if at the supermarket is designed with things that you come closer, that I know is not good for me, it's a lot of sugars, it's a lot of nicotine or whatever, so I don't have to buy that. I have everything I need right in the basket. I know what I came here to get. I have it already, so I'm taking this as a pause. It's like, oh, okay, I can breathe in and out. I don't have control over the situation when it's my turn to check out and pay, and then I can go on. So there's moments where we might feel, oh, restless, all things can be triggered in us. Can we use those as moments of coming back, of balancing, of like restoring this verticality, connection, when we're connected with the earth, with the sky, with our breath, our heart. That's a lot of conditions for being finding some kind of well-being, finding a capacity to embrace our difficulty. So, I'm not inviting you to take pebbles from this garden, but you might find some maybe in the forest or somewhere else during the day to kind of just remember, like, okay, I can have this as a reminder that I'm allowed to come back to this present moment. Apparently it's okay to take a pebble with you. So we can end this part here with the sound of the bell.